Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Please join me. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in need of your help, in need of your divine aid. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning as we come here with all of the griefs that we bear, with all of the heartaches that we have. Lord, we ask that you would touch us in a special way this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for those in our midst who are struggling with illness, those who are dealing with relationship problems, Lord. Lord, we just lift up Don Vocal. Lord, we pray that you would heal his body and give him comfort, Lord, during this time. And just surround Kim as well and comfort her. We think of others in our midst who are hurting. We think of the Grimm family. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them during this time of loss. Lord, we pray for Kelly Potter as she recovers from surgery. Lord, we pray that you would heal her body. Lord, we pray for Francis, Lord. We just ask that you would heal his leg, Lord, this very difficult infection that he is dealing with. Lord, we just pray for your healing power to be upon him. Lord, we pray for others here this morning who are just struggling in life. Lord, we ask that you would lift their spirits, help them to just help them, Lord, now, here and now, in this place. Lord, we pray for your church around the globe this morning, Lord. We think of Christians who are being persecuted for their faith, Lord. We just pray that you would give them your protection and continue to encourage them as they seek to make your name known. Lord, we pray this morning also that as we read and listen to your word, that your Holy Spirit would give us illumination and understanding as we hear your word. Help us now, Lord, to apply your word to our lives on this special Easter morning. Lord, we just give you thanks that you died on the cross for our sins and that you have been raised from the dead and now intercede on our behalf in heaven, Lord. We just pray that you would help us now, help us this day so we can live out your word in our world. We pray this in your name. Amen. I invite you to please turn in your pew Bible to Luke chapter 24. Be looking at verses 1 through 12. Please listen to God's word. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. I'd like to begin this morning by saying that in Jesus, we have the solution to our deepest needs. As we think about the deepest, the most serious problems of our life, I want to say that in Jesus, in Him, we have the solution to those problems. I also want to begin this morning by saying that it is in Jesus we have what we really want. When we boil it all down, when we get to the bottom of what we as human beings want, in Jesus, we have what we want. And what is that? It is eternal life. That is what we as human beings want more than anything else, is heaven. We want eternal life, and it is in Him that we have that. Because He conquered the grave, we can have eternal life. But also, in the story of Jesus, in the biblical account of Jesus, we have something that we don't want. What is it that we don't want in Jesus' story? What we learn about in the story of Jesus that we don't like is the fact of our own, the fact that we have all fallen short. We have all broken the heart of God, and we see this supremely displayed in Jesus' life and His work on the cross. We're not comfortable with the fact of our own sin. And yet the cross, because of the cross and because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we can receive God's forgiveness and we can receive His love. It's through the cross of Christ that we come into contact with Jesus. You know, sometimes we think that if we just act in a certain way, or if we act good enough, that's what's going to make us a Christian. And I want to say this morning that that is a false view of the Christian faith. We come to know Jesus when we realize that we have indeed broken the heart of God, and we accept what He has done for us, the fact that He has paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus not only died on the cross, but He also rose from the dead and defeated death, and that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating that Jesus defeated death. This is what Easter is all about. But Easter always needs to be connected to the cross of Jesus. Because Jesus defeated death, we as believers can have hope, and a hope that is secure. And we give thanks for that today. And that's why we're here. That's what we are celebrating today, that we have a hope for eternal life, but also a hope for today, that our lives can be changed. In 1982, the great Soviet leader, Leopold Brezhnev, passed away. He died. And they had a big Soviet-style funeral for him, and there was no message of hope. There were no hymns of comfort. There was no discussion at his funeral of eternal life. That is in keeping with the Soviet regime of that era, an atheist regime. But at his funeral, something amazing happened. His widow was there, right in front, and just as the soldiers were about to put the casket lid down, she went up to him, and on his chest, she put the sign of the cross, a great act of civil disobedience. You know, the Soviet leadership was shocked. How could she do this in the midst of our message of atheism? Who was this? How dare she do this? It was a message of hope that she gave even at this Soviet leader's funeral. And it's a message we have today in our passage, a message of hope. We see here in this passage these women who went to the tomb. They went without any hope. Jesus truly died on the cross. No one could survive a death like that. He died on the cross. They went to the tomb, and they did not accept anything more at the tomb except more sorrow. As they came to the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. And then we learn in our passage about these angels that came. These angels said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead." They say, Don't you remember what Jesus said, prophesying His own resurrection from the dead, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that He would rise again on the third day? They had forgotten, in the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their own grief, they had forgotten what Jesus had already said to them. And what this passage reminds us of here is that Scripture, God's Word, can help us in the times when we are full of grief, in the times when we think there is no hope. This is a reminder here that God's Word can give us hope. If only these women would have remembered God's Word, they would have known what was happening. They would have remembered Jesus' words. At some point, these women came to believe in the resurrected Christ. And we don't have the exact details, but we know that they came back. And they shared this message with the 11 and with the other women who were present. This is very important that women here are the ones, the heralds of God's most important news, the resurrection of Christ. These women here shared this with the 11. Unfortunately, we learn that their news that they had to share was not too well received. And we see this in verse 11. What do we have here in verse 11? What do we see? But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Think about that one verse and think about our world today. What does our world have in common with this one verse? Our world is skeptical. Our world doesn't affirm the resurrection of Christ. Many people in our world don't. So think about that here in this passage, of how the early believers in Christ, the early Christians, did not make this story up. Because why do we know that they didn't make it up? Because they didn't even believe it from the beginning. So that's one reason that we hold fast to the truth of the resurrection. Then we learn in this passage that Peter did what? He ran to the tomb to take a look for himself. And yet, what do we learn here in this passage based on Peter's inspection? Do we learn that Peter came to believe in Jesus simply by an empty tomb? No. We learn that he wondered to himself what had happened. So we see here Peter have wonder, but not belief in Christ. One grand or all-important truth that emerges from this passage is that the disciples did not invent the resurrection story. At first, they neither understood it, nor did they believe it. So why did they come to a belief in the resurrected Christ? How did they go from rejecting the resurrection to being willing to die for the risen Lord? Why were they willing to give it all up? Why were they willing to face physical persecution for the good news that Christ had indeed been risen from the dead? Why did they do it? Can you tell me? They did it because, as you just said, they had met the risen Lord. They had met with him personally. Not only did he appear to them, but they could converse with him. So as we think about the Christian faith and as we think about the resurrection message, it's not merely that Jesus rose from the dead. That's not what the early church said. There's more to it. They believed that he not only rose from the dead, but that he also appeared to them. And we must always keep those two things together because that is the whole comprehensive Easter message. We're not merely talking about some Jesus who just rose and went immediately to heaven. No, he appeared to many people. And if we study the first several centuries of the early church, what do we see? We see them proclaiming, central to their proclamation to the world, their proclamation was that he has risen. And that not only has he risen, but that he appeared to us. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can even go and talk to some of these people. Don't just take my word for it, the Apostle Paul says, but go and talk to some of these people that met the risen Christ. And these people, some of these people who met the risen Christ, lived long lives. Some of them, as Paul says, are still living. So we need to bear that and keep that in mind this morning as we celebrate Easter. They came to believe God's word, the early followers of Christ, that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is why we have hope. Why did the early church, why was the central belief of the early church that he had risen? Why was it? Because he had actually risen from the dead. Not merely spiritually, it wasn't a mere hallucination, but he actually bodily rose from the dead. That is what fits best with the evidence that we have from history. And anyone else that says something different, really, I feel bad for them. They're in the dark. They are in the dark. There is no other way that you can explain the rise of the early church without the resurrection of Christ. If you remove the resurrection of Christ, there is no early church. The early Christians weren't just going around and saying, be a nice person, follow the principles or the morality of Jesus. That is not what they were saying at all. What they were saying is that Jesus had risen from the dead and that we have met him. And that's why we can have hope. And that's why we can have hope for eternal life. A number of years ago, there was a missionary to Brazil. And he went to a community that was dealing with a lot of disease. And the disease was spreading in this community in Brazil, in this indigenous Indian community. And the missionary knew that across the river, there was a clinic and that they could get the vaccination that they needed to help them with this disease and cure them from this disease. And so the missionary shared this with the Indians. And the Indians' response was, no, we do not want the medicine because we believe that if we go through this river, if we touch the water of this river, that there will be evil spirits and that we will be infected with this evil. And so they would not cross the river over to the clinic. And so the missionary took them to the edge of the river and he said to them, you know, hey, just cross this river with me. I will help you and we will get the medicine that you need. And they said, no. And so then he put his hand in the water and he said, hey, this water is just fine. It'll be okay. And they said, no. So then he waded into the middle of the river and he said, hey, everything's fine. He splashed the water up around his face and they refused. Finally, the missionary dove into the water, swam underneath, and then got up on the other side and said, hey, everything will be okay. I have made it to the other side. Don't fear. And they believed him because he went to the other side and they were cured of their disease. In Jesus, we have the same similar thing. Jesus defeated death. He went through death and he came out the other side. And because of that, we do not have to fear death. He defeated it. He conquered it. Death has no victory over us. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. In the Bible, the phrase that is the number one phrase used, the most common phrase in all of the Bible is what? Do not fear. Do not fear. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we do not have to fear death. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In him, our salvation is secure. In him, we have eternal life. That passage there says we have a living hope. Our claim of eternal life is not pie in the sky. Some people say, Christians, you're very unrealistic about this. But my response to that is, because of the reality of the resurrection, because of the reality of the resurrection, we have eternal life. We have what Paul says here, what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you are uncomfortable with this. You reject the message of the gospel. You reject the resurrection of Christ. You don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. I want to say something to you this morning. We come into contact with Jesus by realizing our own sinfulness. Our minds are depraved, and that is why we don't believe. That's why we don't believe in what Jesus says about eternal life. That's why we don't believe the biblical message. That's why we don't believe in the truth of biblical history. Because our minds are depraved. But this morning, we need to remember that there is hope. We can turn towards Jesus. We can confess our sins. And we can receive His mercy. And we can receive His forgiveness. Will you put your trust in Him this morning? Will you rely on Him for your salvation? Trust in His ways and not your own ways. That's what keeps people from Jesus so often, is that people are simply distracted. People want to do things their own way rather than His way. But I can guarantee you this morning, if you come to Him and put your trust in Him, your life can be changed. And you can have a new life, and you can have a new hope, and you can receive the gift of eternal life. And we invite you this morning to do that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian. You've been a Christian for many years. I want to encourage you in your faith. Remember God's word. Remember His promises. And as that song says, stand on those promises despite whatever may come your way. Despite whatever grief, despite whatever doubt, despite whatever hardship comes your way, remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and that He has been raised from the dead. That is what we're celebrating this morning. We're celebrating the hope of Jesus Christ, and we give thanks for it. And I want to encourage you in that hope this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we give You thanks for Your love and that You care for us and that You are here for us. We give You thanks for the comfort that we have in You. Lord, this morning we pray for those who are far from You. We pray for the lost. We pray for those who are living in the prison of doubt. Lord, we ask that You would help those people. Help them to understand Your truth, which is a truth that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we ask that You would help those people here and now to make a decision for You in their life. Help them to understand the life that You offer. Lord, we pray that anyone here this morning who doesn't know You will come to a saving faith this morning. Lord, we pray for our church this morning. We pray that this would be a great time of spiritual renewal, that we would renew our commitment to You, and that we would live like the early believers, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming Your saving message, proclaiming that You have indeed risen from the dead, and You now intercede on our behalf. Lord, we just pray that You would give us a spirit of boldness. Help us not to be timid in sharing Your message with a lost and hurting world. Lord, we think this morning of those countries and those places in our world where Your message is being obscured, where people are opposed to Your truth. Lord, we pray that You would change the hearts and minds of those individuals and that You would bring spiritual renewal and revival to those places. And we pray for that revival here in our own country as well and here in our own community. May this be a morning where we can return to You and live for You as we seek to follow You in our daily lives. Lord, we lift up this prayer and ask it all in Your Son's name. Amen.